Big Show broadcasting live down here at the Patriots draft headquarters down at Gillette Stadium. It is day two of the NFL draft. We're done with day one. Joining us live here in our studios at Gillette is Jonathan Kraft. I must tell you this.
These are our studios, by the way. No, I'm joking.
Wow. Did you just leave me?
I'm joking.
Wow. All right, hold on. Well, take my name.
I'm paying for this microphone. Right.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
I've heard you let anybody that wants to come in here.
Absolutely.
In here,
so, let me tell you, a kid with an internet radio show, come on in. Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, they're here every day. Paul Perillo, one of your own.
Yes, sir, exactly. So I must tell you, the NFL came out smelling like roses with this one, the new format where you play. They have the first round on night one, round two tonight, because the reaction here for talk radio, this has been phenomenal. Can you guys do this like four or five times during the course of
a
year?
We were actually thinking next year, draft week. And 7 days, seven rounds, bang, bang, bang.
Picks one.
So then you start getting sixth and seventh round mock drafts.
All right, so we've got to ask you, because Bill, we're not talking to Bill until Monday. Based on the reaction here today, how did you guys screw up so poorly last night?
What happened? I know. We decided that I was trying to think of a witty comeback, but I don't have one.
It'll come after you.
We were real happy with what happened last night, so I realized that maybe there are some people, some media people who are happy, some that are unhappy, same with the fans. But that's what's great about the draft. People have opinions, they're passionate. The one thing I can tell you is that when we're making decisions for this team, when Bill, because this is Bill's decision, when Bill is making a decision with our football people for this team, we're not trying to make bad decisions. Bill spends inordinate amounts of time and energy, dramatically more, I think, than most head coaches in this league. For most head coaches in this league, the season ends, they take some time off, they have a personnel department. Bill rolls right into draft mode. Bill makes lots of trips that you never hear about in the media. Bill works incredibly hard on the draft, and trust me, Bill is making decisions that he thinks are the best for this football team. He has as great of a vested interest as anybody.
When this pick came along and you're seeing, okay, we're targeting a Devin McCourty, and he said he was doing it from 22 on, regardless of when they picked. What was his reaction to seeing McCourty get down there? Because, I mean, there is the latent feeling the day after that somehow you guys missed the boat. You took a corner when you're always taking corners and you miss a boat. Why this guy, and what was the reaction as he came closer?
I'll let Bill get into the real details of why this guy. But I think what happens is you let the first 15 picks play out and you see what's happening on the board. You know, the board starts to move. And clearly, when we walk into the draft room, when Bill walks into the draft room, he has a couple of scenarios in his head. And you watch and you see how it's playing out. And I think as it got closer down there, that's who we started to zero in on, is one of those people you would have liked to get who was going to be there. And you're also watching how the rest of the board is playing out at other positions that you might be interested in. The number of players still left, knowing what we have in the second round, and saying this is going to be the right decision at this place for us. And when Bill says we were taking him at 22, I can tell you, as somebody that was sitting there, that's who we were taking at 22. And the play of moving down to 27 is well thought out. Every team between us and there is looked at what their needs are, and calculated risks are made as we trade down. And trust me, when a team calls to ask you to trade up, to trade up and for us to move back, we ask them who they're taking. Now, you kind of know who some of them are taking.
Right.
So that was well thought out and calculated by Bill, and we were very happy to get the player we got at that pick.
So you weren't trying to save some money by picking at 27 instead of 22?
No, Jerry, we weren't.
That was Callahan's talking point.
Actually, moving from 22 to 27, it's a good question, Steve. This draft, and Bill said it last week, and I think it's been talked about publicly for a while, is incredibly rich and deep all across the board. And I think a lot of that has to do with the collective bargaining agreement, and I think a lot of underclassmen coming out who are good, solid players with good potential who don't want to face whatever the new rookie compensation system might be. So the draft is incredibly rich. And we had the one and the three twos. We did not have a three. We weren't picking again till the middle of the fourth. By moving down those five picks, we actually picked up a draft pick in the third round. We believe there'll be an extremely good player left there. And when you're done paying that player at three, it'll more than compensate for the savings between 22 and 27, and we get another player.
We hear a lot of character issues about a lot of players these days, probably because these guys are more scrutinized than they were 10, 15, 20 years ago. There probably were a lot of issues then. We also hear the criticism, not necessarily the criticism, but people say that sometimes this organization might be looking at the character of some of those guys, specifically the ownership. Your mother's been even brought. Her name's
been
brought.
We should put that one to bed.
Oh, go ahead.
Back at the beginning, a media member caught my mother off guard and asked her about Christian Peter. My mother does not get involved and has never gotten involved in personnel picks. Clearly, my mother taught us all as children, and she's married to my dad, and they've been married 47 years. There's an ethical way we lead our lives. But my mother has nothing to do with the draft or what players are picked for this football team. I mean, just make that abundantly clear.
You've heard that, though, right?
Where did she have
it? Yeah, over the yes.
Where did she have McCourty rated?
But
he's a nice boy.
That's a reach.
He's a nice boy.
Bill,
let me tell you. Last year, I will say this, my mother did love The Blind Side, and she loved Michael Orr, and she was, no, true story, and she was really hoping, but she's got absolutely nothing to do with the personnel side of things.
Okay, how about if Bill comes to you or Robert and says, I know this guy's got some issues here, there's some warts on this guy. Does that ever happen, or does he make that call before that?
Look, first at a higher level, and Steve can speak to this. He's been in a locker room.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he had issues.
No, in those days, the real question is, would he have gotten through all the screens?
That's a good point.
But
Fred didn't.
You got 53 guys plus 8 practice squad guys living together in such an intense way. And it's like anything in life, when you've got bad people, even if they're potentially talented, and by bad people, you know, character issues, mental issues, it impedes on the dynamic. And a little bit of it can maybe be withstood, but a lot of it, I think, can bring a team down. Bill Belichick understands that a heck of a lot more than I do. And so a big part of what goes into our draft preparation is huge, huge analysis, really in-depth analysis on the relationships that players have had in their football environments and outside of their football environments, the psychological makeup of players. We employ a system that I think is only used by two or three other teams that give us really detailed profiles on the players, on metrics that we're interested about their sort of character and their mental makeup. And over time, we've been able to determine patterns and things that we think make sense and that can predict, not with perfection, but can help you predict the type of guys that are good in the locker room and good to have on a football team. And Bill looks at all of that and talks about it. Sometimes there are players that may interest him or our staff that have instances of something in their past, and they want to make us aware of it and talk about it with us. But Bill does that, and he presents it, and we talk about it, and there's give and take. But I really can't recall ever having strong disagreement in Bill's 10 years here on anybody's character and whether or not they should be available for us. And Bill has great judgment in this area. He really does.
Getting back to the pick of McCourty and the perceived needs, was there a point when they started to go corner? My perception, Jonathan, for what it's worth, is when you take McCourty, and in the past couple of years you've taken Chung and Wilhite and Butler and Merriweather, and you have all these defensive backs, is there a point where you, as a fan and a person with an ownership stake as well, said, cornerback, really? Taking another corner? I thought that all these other things we had a greater need for, because that's what the genius over here said.
Right. Well, look, when Dez Bryant is falling and you watched him run those routes and catch those passes without a shirt on, and you just, you marvel. You absolutely
marvel.
We don't
need him.
And you say, am I of the same species? Because you look at him move and you look at his body, and does that excite you? It absolutely does. And you totally get, from a fan perspective, why people would look at that and be excited, or we'll just use Dez Bryant because sure. he was there. But we have three more picks in the second round, and I think when you're taking a pick in the first round, especially given what's happened in our division in terms of the types of receivers and the quarterbacks that are coming into it, we need it. And Bill said this last night, and this is part of the rationale. This kid is going to be a very good NFL player. We really feel that with great certainty. He also is a physical corner. Mm-hmm. And when you've got these big receivers, you need kids. I believe he, of all the corners in the draft this year, or Division I football last year, led D1 football in tackles.
Yeah, he did. I believe, led the team, and that's rare.
He's not, you know, a lot of corners, one who used to play here, don't always like to come up and you know, they're ball hawks, and that's a really important skill set to have too. But you need guys, especially in this league, who aren't afraid to tackle running backs, who aren't afraid to bump receivers, who aren't afraid to be physical. And then on top of it, the kid isn't just a good special teams player. He loves to play teams. And Bill Belichick went and sat with the kid and watched film. And for people, it's great, the passion that's out there. And as a fan, I would prefer something sexier. But as somebody with a vested interest in the team, Bill Belichick's decision making is the right thing, and he has sat with the kid. Mm-hmm. After we spent millions of dollars on research, tens of thousands of man hours, Bill actually sat with the kid, watched film with him, and talked football, and he came away loving the kid. Steve, you can appreciate what that's about, and I think it's hard to question something like that. And you see how deep this board is. And you mm-hmm. know some of those other areas of concern that you bring up, we're going to be able to address with great players with these three second-round picks in our third.
Hell, every time I was in a film room with Bill Belichick, I was sweating and nervous he was actually going to ask me something, yeah. Let alone sitting there one-on-one with a college kid. You know, if the kid didn't panic and had a good football conversation with him, I'm sure that goes a long way with a guy like Belichick.
It does. I think it lets you see his football intellect up close. And I wasn't there, so I don't know what he was doing. But I've watched Bill in film sessions before, and the media, I think, has had the chance to see it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then if you're a kid, I'm sure when Bill's doing it with him one-on-one, Bill is also, in a way, asking questions and probing
yep.
to see the instincts and reactions. And he must have really he really liked what he saw. And so we're excited to get Devin in here, and we're going to pick up four other mm-hmm. really good players tonight. Really good players. This is a deep draft.
Who?
Tell me who's going to be there.
That's the cluster.
So wait a minute. If we gave you the names of who would be there, you'd be able to tell us? That's
maybe.
Pretty good. That's
maybe.
You know more about this labor situation than most people in the country. In this uncapped year, is it your take that we may see some teams who cut some players that they look at right now that are going to be too expensive this year based on what they can produce, especially if they're guys who have accumulated some money and don't have any further obligations, and yet they're 32, 34 years old, in that range?
Well, you've seen some of that happen already, and I think the best example of it would be if Albert Haynes, if this wasn't an uncapped year, and the Redskins were trying to trade Albert Haynesworth, if the reports are true that they are.
Today is the latest report. He will be moved today.
He will be moved today. In a cap situation, given the signing bonus he got last year, and I don't remember what the number was, but it was exorbitant, you know, $30 million or whatever it was, or something like that.
Or something ridiculous.
You couldn't – that was with the total guarantees.
Total
I don't
guarantee
know how much was signing bonus. If you cut him – all of that money that was otherwise being prorated over the life of the deal, traded him, you would have taken all of that money, dumped into the cap. It would have been impossible. You couldn't have fielded a team. So I think you will definitely see player movement that otherwise wouldn't have happened if it wasn't an uncapped year. The interesting thing is going to be when we ultimately do get another system in place is how, if at all, that type of activity is going to be accounted for, because clearly that'll be a big part of the discussion. So teams like ourselves who have always tried to play it in the middle of the road, not be all the way at the top betting the future the way some teams do in a given year, or be all the way at the bottom. Try to play it in the middle, preserve our flexibility. I think that's probably the safest way to go about playing this year. Now, that being said, we have spent a fair amount of money on signing bonuses this year. I believe we're number two in the league after the Bears. So we've spent a lot of money, but we had left ourselves in a cap position as we ended 09 that gave us the flexibility to be able to do that. And I think whatever happens in 11 and beyond, we're going to be in a good position to deal with what the rules of the road are.
So if you've spent the second most money in signing bonuses this offseason, why is the general impression around here that you haven't been active in the offseason?
You'd have to ask the people that have that perception. We did not like the way last season ended. That was an embarrassment. First time to lose a home playoff game for our family, and the way we lost it was an embarrassment. Mm-hmm. And I think people, you know, so that leaves a bad taste in the mouth coming out of the season. And just because I don't know what people's perception is, but we had a plan, and maybe at the end of last year, because we weren't able to get Vince done, maybe people started thinking something. But for us, we always have a plan. We're never going to let ourselves get in jail, and we're prepared to spend money as long as we're spending it wisely. Because think about that Albert Haynesworth deal. If we had done it a year ago, everybody would love it. Everybody would be ecstatic and excited about it. Yet you would have left yourself in a financial position where you couldn't do any more business, and you would have had a player that was a disaster.
Is it going to bother you if a team like Washington now parachutes out of that deal, trades him, doesn't realize the cap hit implications that they're going to come, and then when the new CBA gets done, will you say, hey, look, they made an irresponsible choice. We'd like to see them pay. That could be a real moving part that you have to deal with.
Well, I think that's teams in the NFC East and the NFC will probably feel it much more strongly who have to compete. But that's what I was alluding to when Glenn asked that last question, which is whenever the new deal gets put in place, and assuming there's a cap as a part of it, what took place in 09 somehow is going to have to be accounted for. Because just to keep the you can't start from ground zero again.
It was like a blackout. We don't remember what happened that year.
You can't do it now.
I don't know.
And I'm sure there'll be lobbying for different types of rules. And I no one knows how it's going to end up. But those are the types of things you have to think about. But I think the teams in the NFC East in particular are going to be the ones that would be most concerned about that.
How important is it to you to make sure that Tom Brady feels as if he has enough? You know, so many different franchises talk about weapons. We got to get our guys some weapons. This team hasn't operated that way. You make your team better, and it doesn't seem as if you buy toys for your quarterback. All that being said, he's at a position in his contract where what he's surrounded by could make a difference. Is that at all a tumbler that has to fall into place or something that you guys think about? I mean, Randy's up at the end of the year.
I don't think you think about any one player and getting any one player anything. I think, like you said, Tom, you think about making your team better, and that's what'll happen tonight. We'll look at the board. We'll see where players are rated. Clearly, we have certain areas of need, and other places we don't. And we'll try to get the best players we can at the right time, given how the board looks, given who's left there, and given what our needs are. And that's no slight at Tom. Tom, by the way, and to Tom's credit, I've never heard Tom come in and say, you got to do this, you got to do that. Tom understands that it's a football team. And that's what I think. And I want to clarify one thing, because I said something about Albert Haynesworth's a very good football player. What I meant, what I said about him, clearly that situation in that environment hasn't worked out. I'm not saying Albert Haynesworth isn't a good football player. I think he is. But when you take all that money and end up with the situation like they have, if there was a cap this year, they'd have a real, real problem.
Yep.
All right, Jonathan, thanks for coming down to your studio. We really appreciate it.
Glenn, thanks for letting us play here.
Spending some time with us.
Glenn, this is your studio.
Until
6
o'clock,
you
and the sign will come off, and somebody else will be here.
And that's where I think, is it? I don't know. Are we doing Patriots.com radio? I would never want people to listen to that up against you.
No.
But for those that want Patriot Talk when other talk radio stations are talking other stuff, Go to patriots.com and listen to PFW in Progress and some of our other great shows.
See, now
and,
you know it's not my studio.
But never do that from 2 to 6.
2 to 6.
Never do it from 2 to 6.
How about the morning? Would you mind doing it in the morning? Are you on in the morning?
I depends whether Jerry's in a good mood or a bad mood. I love Dean, and I love Jerry. Jerry coaches
sure you
youth sports.
Yeah,
I can't,
sure
you know. But I heard he had some choice words for you this morning, Glenn.
He always does. He always does, you know. That's okay. That's all right. That's
I understand fine. With his 10 hours, excuse me, 10 minutes of studious study, he became a draft expert. So
See, I don't even have to add anything into that. That's torture right there. Good seeing you.
Hey,
thank
good
you.
To see you guys.
Good luck
Take
tonight.
Care.
Quick
Thanks.
Break. We're back here on the Big Show.